Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It's kind of wild how fast things change in digital entertainment, isn't it?
It really is. Always something new.
Yeah, like for ages, online casinos were pretty much, the usual suspects. Slots, maybe some roulette, blackjack.
The classic.
Exactly. But now there's this big shift happening. A whole new type of game has just sort of exploded onto the scene. And it's grabbing millions of players, especially younger folks.
Oh, definitely seeing that trend.
So today we're digging into the rise of these crash games. You've probably seen them around. We'll focus a bit on the main one, Aviator.
Right, the one that really kicked things off,
These
Jeff.
things are defined by like super fast rounds, really simple visuals, and this high risk, high reward feel.
Absolutely. And our mission today for you listening is really to unpack how they work. What's the mechanic?
Yeah, and why did Aviator specifically become such a huge deal?
Exactly. What made it the leader? And we'll look at the factors behind their crazy growth and why players seem to stick with them. We've gone through all the source material you send over, articles, some research, and pulled out the key stuff, the surprising bits, to really get you up to speed.
Perfect. So let's start right there. For anyone who's maybe seen these but isn't totally sure, what are crash games fundamentally? Can you break that down simply?
Sure. So, at their heart, crash games are all about two things: timing and a rising multiplier.
Okay.
The game starts usually with the multiplier at 1.00x, then it just starts climbing fast.
Right.
And you, the player, you've placed your bet before it starts. Your job is to hit cash out before the game randomly decides to crash.
Oh, okay. So you got to get out in time.
Exactly. If you cash out, you win your bet times whatever the multiplier was at that exact moment.
But if it crashes first.
Poof, bet's gone. You lose it all for that round.
Okay, got it.
And the appeal, I think, comes from that mix of like super simplicity, but also real tension.
Yeah, I can see
There
that.
are no reels, no pay lines, no complicated rules or cards. It's just one thing going up, a line, a plane, whatever,
I'm waiting for the drop.
waiting for the crash. It really boils down to a test of your nerve, maybe a bit of intuition, and just timing.
And you mentioned speed. These things are quick,
Oh,
right?
yeah, super quick. A whole round might be over in what, 10 seconds, 15 seconds?
Wow.
So you can jump in, bet low, bet high, whatever, and see the result almost instantly. It's a really fast cycle.
Okay, that makes sense. So if that's the basic idea, how did Aviator become the name? The one everyone knows, what was its story?
So Aviator, it was put out by a company called Scribe back in 2019, and it was one of the real pioneers in taking this crash idea and putting it into an online casino format. The concept couldn't be simpler, really. Little red plane takes off on the screen. The
Okay.
longer that plane stays flying, the higher the win multiplier climbs. You bet before it takes off, and then you got to hit that cash out button before the plane just flies away off the screen.
So the plane flying away is the crash.
That's the crash, exactly. And I think the genius of Aviator, well, part of it anyway, is how it balances things. There's skill, or at least perceived skill, in the timing.
Right, your decision.
Your decision matters, but there's also anticipation and obviously a lot of luck. It gives you more feeling of control than just spinning reels on a slot.
That feels like a key difference, yeah. Giving the player some agency.
Definitely. But it's still fundamentally unpredictable, which keeps the gambling element strong.
So here's where it gets really interesting for me. What specific features did Aviator nail that let it just take over?
Okay, yeah, there were a few key things Scribe baked in. First, and this is a big one, is the provably fair system.
I've heard that term. What does it mean in practice?
It means they use cryptography, like blockchain tech almost, so that the outcome of each round is predetermined but hidden, and crucially, players can actually verify it afterwards.
You can check they weren't messing with the results.
Precisely. It creates this level of transparency that was pretty revolutionary for online casino games, builds enormous trust. Huge deal.
Okay, that's clever. What else?
Then there's the whole live multiplayer aspect. You see other people's bets popping up. You see when they cash out, you see their wins.
Ah, so it feels like you're in it together.
Exactly. It adds this social buzz, a bit of competition, makes it feel more alive.
Yeah.
Plus, the interface is super minimalist. It's clean, no clutter. All focus is on that climbing multiplier.
Which probably helps it run smoothly.
Totally. It loads fast, doesn't hog resources, works great on phones. Mobile friendliness was key.
Makes sense.
And they added practical features too, like auto cash out. You can tell it, okay, cash me out automatically if the multiplier hits 2x, for example.
Oh, neat. So you can set a target.
Yep. And dual bets, meaning you can place two different bets in the same round, maybe one you cash out early, one you let ride. allows for different strategies.
Mm, interesting.
And finally, just simple things like built-in chat and a leaderboard, again, reinforcing that community feel, making it a shared event.
Okay, so stacking all that up.
Yeah.
How do these crash games really compare to, say, roulette or slots? What's the fundamental difference in appeal?
Well, I'd say it boils down to maybe three core things.
Mm.
The simplicity, the speed, and that feeling of control we talked about.
Right.
Simplicity first. There's almost nothing to learn rule-wise. Anyone can watch for like 30 seconds and get it. That makes them super accessible.
Yeah. No complex strategies needed up front.
None. Then speed. Rounds every 10, 15 seconds means this rapid cycle of betting, winning, losing, betting again. It keeps you glued, you know, yeah. Near instant feedback.
Very different from waiting for a roulette wheel to spin.
Very different. And then control, or at least the perception of control. Unlike slots where you just hit spin and passively wait,
Yeah. Here
you have to make that active decision. When do I cash out? That single choice adds this huge psychological layer. It feels like you're participating more directly in the outcome.
And you think that structure just clicks better with younger players? People raised on mobile games?
I think so, yeah. It feels more interactive, more immediate. It aligns better perhaps with shorter attention spans and the kind of rapid feedback loops common in mobile gaming compared to the sometimes slower pace of traditional casino games.
But does that focus on speed and simple decisions maybe push away players who like deeper strategy?
Yeah.
Or is it just a different crowd?
I think it primarily attracts a different crowd or maybe fulfills a different need for the same player. It's less about complex strategy, more about that thrill of timing and quick decisions. It doesn't replace strategy games. It just offers a different kind of excitement, very high energy.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, another huge piece of the puzzle in anything digital today is influencers, right? Social media. How big a role did streamers play here?
Oh, massive. Absolutely critical. Streamers on places like YouTube, Twitch, even Telegram. They jumped on games like Aviator because, honestly, it makes for fantastic content.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because watching someone else gamble is inherently dramatic, right? Seeing them sweat as the multiplier climbs.
Will they cash out, won't they?
Exactly. Will they hit a huge win? Or will they get greedy and crash? Mm-hmm. It's exciting to watch. It's easy to share clips of big wins or fails. It's naturally viral content.
And certain markets really took to this.
Hugely. We saw Aviators especially just explode in places like India, Brazil, parts of Eastern Europe. A lot of that driven by local content creators streaming it daily.
Robert.
They're not just playing. They're sharing tips, talking strategies, building communities around the game in real time with their viewers.
And you mentioned Telegram. How does that fit in?
Yeah, that's interesting too. Lots of Telegram groups and even bots popped up. They might share results from previous rounds, offer betting signals though, take those with a huge grain of salt, or just provide chat forums.
So it turns the game into more of a social hub.
Pretty much. It moves it beyond just playing alone on your phone into something more communal.
So putting it all together,
yeah,
the mechanics, the features, the social buzz, why do players keep coming back? What's the hook that creates loyalty?
Well, there are several hooks, I think. First, instant gratification. We talked about the speed. Short rounds mean you get results fast. Win or lose, boom, you're on to the next round in seconds. Very little waiting.
Keeps the dopamine flowing, maybe.
Could be part of it, yeah. Second, that dynamic risk control. You decide your own risk level each round. Play it safe, cash out at 1.5x. Or go for glory and aim for 10x.
Right, you tailor it to your mood or strategy.
Exactly. That feeling of control over your potential win or loss is really powerful. It feels less like the house dictates everything.
Okay. What else?
The low barrier to entry. Minimum bets are often tiny, like really small amounts. Less than a dollar, sometimes pennies, or like you said, maybe 10 rupees.
So anyone can try it without risking much.
Make it super accessible, yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's the transparency aspect, that provably fair system we discussed. For players wary of rigged games, that's a huge plus. Seeing the history, knowing you can verify it.
Builds confidence.
Right. And finally, don't underestimate the community features. Seeing others play, chatting, the shared wins and losses, it adds this whole emotional layer. It feels less solitary, more like an event.
That accessibility point seems huge for global reach, too. What about the actual design? How did that help it spread, especially in, say, emerging markets?
Yeah, that's a great point. These games, Aviator especially, were built mobile first. That was clearly the priority.
Meaning.
Meaning they run straight in your phone's web browser. No need to download a separate app from an app store. That's a massive advantage.
Removes a barrier.
Totally. Especially in markets where smartphones are the primary way people get online, much more than desktops. Think India, Africa, Latin America.
And technically, they're built lean.
Very lean, they're lightweight, they load fast, and crucially, they don't eat up a lot of mobile data.
That's vital if data is expensive or connections aren't great.
Absolutely critical. Plus, they really nail the localization. Support for local payment methods is huge. UPI in India, PIX in Brazil, M-Pesa in parts of Africa, plus standard PIVOTs.
Makes it easy for people to deposit and withdraw.
Essential. And offering the game in local currencies, local languages, it just removes all those friction points and makes it feel native, accessible to basically anyone with a smartphone.
Right, breaking down those walls. Okay, so looking forward then, what's the deal with regulations? Are authorities catching up? And what's next? Where does crash gaming go from here?
Regulation-wise, technically, crash games are just another form of online gambling. So they fall under existing casino regulations in most places.
Right.
But their simplicity, the almost video game feel, can sometimes create this perception, maybe among players, maybe even regulators initially, that it's somehow not real gambling.
Like it's just a game.
Kinda. Which is why operators have to be really careful. Responsible gaming tools, strict age checks, those are vital to counter that perception and ensure player protection.
And are regulators paying closer attention now?
Definitely. As these games get more popular, especially concerns about marketing, particularly if it seems aimed at younger people, regulators are stepping up scrutiny. We can expect more focus on fairness, advertising standards, that sort of thing.
Makes sense. And innovation. Is Aviator still the only game in town, or are others jumping in?
Oh, loads of others are jumping in now. Given Aviator's success, every major game studio wants a piece of the crash pie. You see games like Spaceman from Pragmatic Play, JetX, Lucky Jet.
Are they just clones, or do they add new things?
Some are pretty similar, but others try to add their own spin, maybe different themes, animated characters instead of just a line or a plane, sometimes little bonus features or rounds.
Interesting. What else is changing?
We're starting to see hybrid games, maybe combining the crash multiplier mechanic with, say, elements from slots, or adding mini games, even exploring skill-based components, so that's tricky with gambling regs.
Trying to blend formats.
Yeah, and just generally more gamification, leaderboards we mentioned, but also tournaments, special missions or challenges within the game, anything to keep players engaged longer and coming back.
So wrapping this up then, it feels pretty clear crash games have seriously shaken up online gambling. They found this sweet spot, didn't they? Simplicity, speed, that bit of control.
Absolutely. It's like the perfect formula for the mobile-first short attention span era.
Yeah.
And with those strong community elements, the fast pace, the transparency push, they're really driving trends globally now. It's definitely not just a passing fad. This is a big slice of the future of online gaming, I think.
Right. So as these really engaging, very social, very fast games keep growing and finding new players all over the world, it leaves us with a question, doesn't it? What does this tell us about where digital entertainment is heading next, and maybe how player psychology itself is evolving?